What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Cover Zero podcast. It is our week six recap show. I'm your host tonight, Jordan, joined by, as always, both of us repping that silver and black. It is Jay. How are you doing, my man?
I'm doing solid, bro. I'm happy the Raiders won. You know what I'm saying? I'm under the weather and shit. Got this badass cold, but you know, it's trying to hold me back, bro. It's trying to stop my victory, Monday. You know, hopefully this shit go away, though. So,
gotta wait. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, if you're going to be ill all the time, sometimes you got to get sick. You know what I mean?
Right,
sometimes that's how it works. Right. That's what I always say. Myself, Raiders won. We're 3-3 somehow right now, sitting at 500 at this juncture in the season, which is better than I honestly thought we would be. So that's looking up, especially how there's been some injuries on certain sides of the ball, lack of QB play and that sort of type of thing. But my Ducks losing on Saturday, bro, that hurt right here, right? I'm pointing to my
Dodgers,
heart for everybody listening
my
to audio.
My Dodgers getting swept. That hurt.
The Dodgers.
That hurt. That was ugly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the Raiders had to come in, give us at least a little bit of victory as we close out this week. We're going to be going over the failures. We're going to be going over the victories as we do on Sunday. And first, we're going to start off with the highs that caught our eye, our ICU segment, the team that was like, okay, I see what you're doing. I like it. Show me. I see you, bruh. I see what you're doing out there. I like it. I see what you're doing. I see you. My first one that I'm going to lead off with is the Detroit Lions. This squad goes into Tampa Bay. It was our game of the week this week that we previewed. The Lions win 20-6 versus the Buccaneers. Overall with this one, man, the takeaways that I have from this one, this Detroit team is so gritty, tough, rugged,
just like their head coach, bro.
Like,
yeah.
From the day he was talking about biting ankles to the product that we are seeing on field today, to bringing them to 5-1, tied now for one of the best records in the NFL, them and four other teams as we sit here at this point. I just love seeing it. And it's not like they were at 100% been having that type of injury luck on their side. They were without Jahmyr Gibbs today going into the game, without Brian Branch. They've been without CJ Gardner-Johnson. They didn't have Emmanuel Mosley, as we had talked about last week, with his issues with the knee. They're also down. David Montgomery got injured today. He had a rib injury.
He got hurt. Mm-hmm.
Jonah Jackson was out. Vitae was out on the line. I mean, there's all kinds of reasons here why you could see typical Detroit. This is where they lose. Jared Goff going against the pressure that was there for the Tampa Bay Bucks, man, which was being applied early in his face and was causing a little bit of difficulties. Mm-hmm. But he settled in and didn't let it cave in on him. It was not too much. And I just love seeing that from them. They were getting contributions today, not only from the guys that they had brought in to start this rebuild, such as Jared Goff. They got contributions today all over the field from Alex Anzalone, one of the best games I'd seen him play. Back-to-back plays early in coverage. He was in like a quarters drop. He stopped the in-breaker. Then the next play, he carried Rashad White out of the backfield step for step on a wheel route, denied that one. I mean, that dude was everywhere today. Jerry Jacobs was coming in and making plays. CJ's boy. I mean, this squad was all over the field, man. This squad was very impressive.
You got to agree, bro. You know what? I'm starting to think this team is complete, bro. This might be one of the most – this probably is – well, I can't say – I actually do want to say it, bro. I want to say this is probably the most complete team in the league. I kind of feel that way, bro, because on all ends, the only thing I'll say is the running game is not as strong as it was last year, but everything else, especially that defense coming together, has been really, really impressive. Going back to Jared Goff, bro, I like what you said there, because one thing I was saying last week was that pressure. I was expecting Todd Bowles to bring more pressure. You know, he kind of cut back on the blitzing just a tad bit. I was expecting him to go really hard on that and just to kind of interrupt Jared Goff. But Jared Goff got through it, like you said, and it was really impressive. I mean, he had 350-some yards. He had two touchdowns. This is a Buccaneers defense that really haven't allowed quarterbacks to really go off on them at all.
No.
You know, the only other quarterback that actually did pretty solid and they lost was Kirk Cousins and the Vikings in week one. So
right.
Jared Goff did a really, really good job against his defense, man. So, yeah, you know, shout out him and that Lions team.
He sure did. There was the play. I mean, there's just so many, like, different parts in this game where you were getting contributions from guys that some you expect and some you don't even. That just shows, like, I don't care what's going on. I don't care what the situation is. We're going to rise to the occasion. There was a third down in, like, 13 where Amon-Ra gets into the slot. They run the switch release that Ben Johnson likes so much. He gets basically a choice route going over the middle. and he breaks it out to the left and cuts back inside underneath. He's like 7-8 yards short of the sticks when he grabs it. He shakes Lavonte David out of his shoes on the play right there, turns it laterally, and he's running like parallel to the first down marker. Craig Reynolds comes running out of the backfield. Bip! Just absolutely destroys Carlton Davis. Carlton Davis bowling balls into another Buck defender, and as Amon-Ra has one more dude to beat into the end zone, it's Antoine Winfield. He hurdles him in and jumps in for the score. Capitalizing on just stuff like that. That's like you get the running back to want to go up and make that play. Amon-Ra, I'm not done. I don't care if I got this ball 7 yards short. This is a team fighting and clawing for everything, and you love to see it, man. Love to see it.
Mm-hmm. That's what I try to say. Where's their weakness? What weakness do they really, really, truly have?
I wonder when they come across
weapons,
like
maybe
when they come across the top tier defenses, like the best, like some of the one of the defenses we'll talk about here shortly, and things like that. I wonder if those like game planning defenses can get the best of them. I don't know. I mean, get the best of their offense. They keep delivering. The defense is as good as it's been. Like going to start getting players back, the Brian Branches of the world, et cetera. But I mean, they're well coached. They execute very well. I love what I'm seeing from Ben Johnson. Talked about him a ton. I mean, they even got a contribution today from Jameson Williams. Did you see that deep ball?
Yeah, I see it. Yeah.
Whoa,
it's about time. I'll be forgetting about him, bro.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be forgetting about him. Like we talked about the weapons last week about the Lions. And did we bring him up?
We did it. He hasn't. He was kind of like cast off because in the preseason, he wasn't really like clicking. He was frustrated most likely because he knew he was going to be facing that suspension. And maybe it was that, but he wasn't separating from, you know, backups on other teams. And so it was kind of worrisome.
Yeah.
But today they drew up that deep corner route for him. That ball seemed like it hung in the air for like 2 calendar days or something like that. Like, but it was dope. He like turned over to the right shoulder, looking at it. Oh, shoot, it's on the other shoulder. Turns back over to left shoulder, relocates it, then has to adjust, go up under like pressure, under contact, catches it, contests it. I mean, it was just so many different things we saw from them today. The big screen play that they ran to Craig Reynolds, the third string running back, who they were able to split out wide on a third down because they knew Bowles was bringing that pressure you were talking about, run that tunnel screen to him. Just different ways to execute, man. And I can't say enough, really, about how this squad is playing so far. And it's dope to see them here. I think something that really encapsulates this squad right now, going into the game, the defense was top 10 in terms of third down conversion rate allowed. Today, they go into Tampa Bay. Jared Goff has no turnovers despite all that pressure, and they held the Bucs to converting 2 out of 12 third downs the entire game.
Yeah, their defense did their thing too, and that was impressive because I thought I think all three of us had it as a high scoring game.
We did. And they also did, like I was talking about earlier, like how Baker's timing has been, like if you can disrupt his timing, that kind of gets him off his block. They didn't really get home and sack him a lot. They made him uncomfortable. They changed the picture. He had to pat the ball and kind of wait a few times, and that got him back to off of his rhythm. And thus we saw probably the worst example of Baker that we've seen since he's been a Tampa Bay Buccaneer this year.
Oh, yeah.
And sure. A lot of that is due to what they were doing on defense over there in Detroit.
Yeah, I got to agree.
Yep. Who's your ICU on this Sunday?
I got the Browns defense, bro. I got the Browns.
Speak on it.
You know, I mean, it starts, I don't know where to start, really. I mean, you can start with the D-line. You can start with the linebackers. You can start with the corners. I thought the secondary played really, really well. And I think that's what really contributed, the D-line really getting, you know, to putting pressure on Brock Purdy and them. Greg Newsome.
Grant loved that dude, man. I loved him coming out so
much,
bro.
We did. We talked about him coming out a lot, man. He's coming into his own. Grant Delpick, who I thought was a little overrated coming out, he's balling. He's doing his thing.
Right.
Denzel Ward's my boy. He came out of Ohio State. I was big on him. He had a solid game today. The whole secondary played well. Jeremiah Arusu, he had a sack today.
My boy, JOK.
Yeah. You know,
he was all over the field today, bro.
He was, bro. He was. You know, and then you obviously Myles Garrett. This team, this defense played really, really well. And they had a third string quarterback. I mean, you know, when you're a quarterback and you have a defense like that, you're going to feel real comfortable because they're going to get you the ball right back, you know. So, and that shows that they're going to believe. They believe that you can get the points on the board. You can do something, manage the game, or maybe you are a really good quarterback, whatever it is. But the defense really helped out that offense enough to be able to pull off the win against the Niners. So, yeah, I got to go with the Browns defense, bro.
Bro, they – so many different guys like stepped up. Martin Emerson, he was a 6th round pick, wasn't he, last year? for them, their other corner, who he had a monster game today, was the first player to pick off Brock Purdy this entire season with that interception. I mean, I love what I'm seeing over here from this defense. Jim Schwartz, bravo, bro. He got some dudes. He's knowing how to unlock them and use them. And I think also, like, kind of what you were talking about, what it does for quarterbacks that may be struggling or necessarily not world beaters, kind of like the situation they're into today with P.J. Walker. Something that having that defense on the other side of the ball also does for you, when they get big splash stops, when they get big splash plays, that then, especially in home games, it hypes up the energy. It brings life, instills momentum. Mm-hmm. You know, it's huge. It's huge. And what I love about this defense too, you watch this defense, like, they are like, the swag is there. Like, incompletion, they got a dance, they got group celebrations, like, everyone has things that they can, like, do with each other. They knew they were going to be able to deliver this season. We're seeing it week in and week out from this defense, and it's just absolutely dope.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
And they're consistent. I like what you said right there. Good point. Because it's been week in and week out. You know, when they played the Cincinnati Bengals and they did that, we were like, okay, they were just mad. You know, the Bengals pissed them off or whatever. No, this is a pissed off defense every week.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I love the play, man. I love what they're doing.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, bro. And we'll move over to the other side of our coin on the Sunday show with our reactions.
Oh, no. Is them again? Cover Zero, nice to hear from you again. This is the NFL Executive Office. How can I help you today?
What? I just have one question.
And what is your question?
What's going on? What's going on? Speaking on the negative side, and this one kind of folds into our most recent I See You, with we were talking about your offering of the Browns defense. Mine's the San Francisco 49ers. Now, yes, you went up against a great defense today. Okay? You absolutely did. And that Browns defense was the biggest factor in why they weren't able to convert today. The other side of that, though, there were areas where the Niners, like, just in terms of the whole game, just gave the game away. There were penalties. Now, I know Niner fans probably screaming at me because of penalties, of course. There were two very late in the game that were just terrible calls. Absolutely terrible calls. On the slant route to Elijah Moore, Tayshaun Gibson just hits him, like, right up in the shoulder area. It was a hard hit. It wasn't an illegal hit. That gave him a first down. The following play, they called Charvarius Ward for a phantom holding on Amari Cooper. That was a really bad play. Other than that, there was another call earlier in the game on Trent Williams on like an offensive holding call that was kind of suspect. But this is not the reason why the Niners lost at all. This Browns defense, as we had mentioned, was huge. There was a play, like, one of the Niners, after the first drive, they just marched down the field instantly. There was a play when they got the ball back on the ensuing drive where they drew up this screen pass to Christian McCaffrey. Myles Garrett reads it instantly. So he, like, slows his momentum. Oh, I see what's happening here. The line's moving differently. Trent Williams tries to get downfield on Myles Garrett. Myles throws Trent Williams to the side.
Yeah.
Like one of my kids when they won't listen after I already done told him twice. Just, yeah. Yeah. I don't obviously do that with my kids, everybody. Please, everybody knows I'm a good dad. But still, bro.
Like, Trent's a dog, too. Let it be known, man. Trent is a dog. So for Myles is too. But I'm just saying, we expect a good battle.
Exactly.
Not somebody getting just thrown, you know, across the field somewhere.
I don't know if I've ever seen that happen to Trent Williams.
No, it never happened.
Like, he goes to engage. No, away with you, peasant.
Who are you? Yeah, who are you?
Like, and then at the same time, JOK and Anthony Walker, the linebacker, arrive immediately with Christian McCaffrey the second that the screen pass gets there. Mm-hmm. That's a loss of eight. Then after that, like, there's another play where they try to complete a pass, and it's they go to Deebo on a slant route. Martin Emerson shuts that down. Then on a third down, right after that, it's third and forever, and so they basically just kill the drive. Niners, I want to bring to Niners fans, everybody, primarily listening Niners fans, I want to bring a couple of things to your attention. Mostly, it's what happened on third down for you guys today, offensively, okay? There was the third and 23 that I just talked about, where it was basically they just handed the ball off, agreed to punt since they were pinned back deep. The next third down was a conversion where he hits, I think he hits Kittle on a play, but there was a hands to the face on Spencer Burford, which was a legit penalty that pulled it back, and thus Ayuk after that drops a third and 15 post route, goes right through his hands. Denzel Ward was just a little bit late breaking in on the route, but did just enough. It hit Ayuk right in the hands, and he dropped it.
Yeah.
Purdy converted one more third down, which was a third and short, like scramble early in the game. But then after that, the Browns shut down an angle route to Christian McCaffrey on third and short, right? Then Purdy had one where he drops back on like a third and 10, third and 11. It just loses the ball in the rain. Like he's just holding the ball just whoop, out of his hand, gone, right? Third and 19, following a JOK sack. They run a twist up front, which they're doing all game long on that defensive front with Earl Cronquo, and he slips in the middle. There was another third and 10 where Purdy threw the pick. I mean, we had seen so many times in this game on high leverage moments where they weren't making plays. But yet on the other side of the ball, we saw on a third down where Cleveland lines up like they're going to do like the tush push move with the tight end, but it's a toss to Kareem Hunt going around the left with dual pullers, touchdown. Right. Another third down. Amari Cooper goes, burns Diamador Lenore off the line of scrimmage, makes him fall, catches a deep route. On another one, he climbs, he freaking mosses
Shadarius Ward. Bro, that catch was great. He timed that perfectly.
Cooper
timed that perfect, bro.
Yeah. Perfect. Everyone on the sideline tapping the head, like he dunked on him. Like these are areas where the Browns were making plays on third down and capitalizing. And we saw many plays and examples where the Niners just weren't today. And then, of course, you add in two missed kicks, which those hurt, obviously. Browns missed kicks. Browns had a ton of penalties. There was so much laundry on the field today from both sides that it was just absolutely awful. And with all the sacks from the Browns that we had talked about, the negative plays, et cetera, interceptions, penalties that kept happening, legit on the sum of them, of course not legit, tends to be how it goes. Going into the final drive, when the offense had the ball for the Niners, they had a net negative 5 total on the day in terms of offense. That can't be. Y'all had 3 yards and a quarter. That can't be. Okay. It's one bad game. You dust it up. Y'all are still elite right now in the league. It's okay. These things happen. You ran into a good defense and this is what happened. But I got to just like, there were so many times where you could have like won the game still. PJ Walker even tried to turn it over late. When he rolled down.
Yeah. He tried to be somebody that he know he ain't, bro.
They were up. Like he's running and he's just got a slide. There's like a minute 40 left, 2nd and 8. Oh, let me throw late over the middle in the end zone with the lead, with like down points. When it's like down one, that's what it was. They were down one, 17-16. Like they tried to throw it away, but the Niners had chances today and they just didn't capitalize.
That's a good one, bro.
Good one. Speaking of another team that was undefeated and then falls while favorites, we have the Philadelphia Eagles today. Losing to the J-E-T-S Jets. Who would have thought that on the same day, P.J. Walker quarterbacking the Browns and Zach Wilson quarterbacking the Jets both beat the Niners and the Eagles, respectively. Who would have thought? Yeah,
nobody, bro. Nobody. Mm-hmm. And partially that's because of Jalen Hurts and how bad he played, bro. You know, he just really hasn't been himself. Yeah, and I've been saying this for a little minute. It's really reading defenses. This was an issue he kind of had coming out. You know, and it kind of seemed like it was getting better going into the season last year, middle of the season and whatnot. But then once the end of the season happened, he came back from the injury. He didn't really look the same. Now they got to the they did their thing. They got through the playoffs. He played well. But now we're going back into the season. He looks it's the same thing where he's not really reading the coverage the way he should, because those interceptions are on him. Don't get me wrong. Sure. The Jets is nice. They're good. You know, the secondary is really good. But I felt like those picks, if you go back and watch them, they were right to the cornerbacks, bro. And it just, you know. To me,
I'll give him the one that Quinton Williams came up with. That was kind of like a boom, boom. It was a little bit off target, but you're right. He is not playing at an elite.
He's just not. Yeah,
he's not playing. He's not playing very good. And today, he just gave them opportunities over and over again.
Yeah, man, you can't do that to a Jets team, bro. That don't have Aaron Rodgers. They didn't have Sauce Gardner, my boy out there. You know, the best corner. So you know, I know they have players there, but still, there's no way you're gonna let a Zach Wilson offense beat that team. That shouldn't have happened. Now, the Eagles, they did that defensively. You can kind of talk about that, but I felt like they did enough. This game still falls on Jalen Hurts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, it was bad. They also, I thought that I would have seen, this is probably the first time where I think I collectively saw, when I was tuning into this game, where I collectively saw the pass rush from the Jets, like, continually getting the best of that Eagle front. And towards the end of the game, I noticed Lane Johnson wasn't out there. And Bryce Huff was eating today. He was just actively in the backfield, making things happen. Quinton Williams was his usual self. Jonathan Franklin Myers was getting active. And then Quincy Williams, the linebacker for the Jets, he was having just a monster game, playing all over the place.
Yeah,
you know, yeah, got a lot of guys over there that you know you really like getting those contributions from. But yeah, now we have nobody left who has lost a game in the NFL.
Yeah, both undefeated teams took a L today.
Yep. Anything else before we get out here on this week six?
Go Raiders.
Go Raiders. It's a short show for y'all today. 20 minutes just to chop it up real quick. But we will get back next week. I actually won't be on the show this week. I'll be at a concert that night. Jameson, big shout out to that. That show's going to be fire. I've seen him live once. Everybody, I say everybody check out Heals Me, his album that came out in 2021. The 2023 one is cool. Check out Heals Me, JMSN. Yeah, but you hear it on the Cover Zero podcast with SSAW. Appreciate y'all listening.